on this episode of Still Loading, it's kind of like an open world Ratchet and Clank meets South Park meets Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. Hey guys, it's Josh, and welcome to this new episode of Still Loading. For this week's episode, I wanted to talk about a newer game. I pretty much have focused solely on retro games for a while now, and that's not what this podcast is all about. I've really wanted to do a variety of things, not just retro games, even though I'm very passionate about them. So this week, I wanted to talk about a newer game, and it's one that's very near and dear to my heart. And this game is Sunset Overdrive for the Xbox One. Now, those who know me know I am not the biggest Xbox fan. I am very much in the Sony PS4 camp. Call me a fanboy, what have you. But I'm generally a big Sony fanboy, and I'm not really ashamed of it. But with that in mind, I do like all consoles. I objectively, just because of where my opinions lie, that doesn't mean that there aren't good games on other consoles. And Sunset Overdrive happens to be one of them. Now, the game originally came out in 2014. It was actually one of the Xbox One's launch games, kind of in a launch window within the first year. Even though the Xbox One was released in late 2013, this game came out in late 2014. So it was within the first year-ish, maybe a little over a year of the Xbox One's life cycle. And most recently, there was a port that just came out for the PC. Apparently not a good port, so if you're thinking about this, do some research, see if there's been any fixes, but as far as I'm aware, this is not the best port for a game. Now, with all that said, let's dive right into it. So, like I said, the specific date was October 28th, 2014, and the PC was just on November 16th, so only a couple days ago, or only about a week or two ago. The plot of the game is relatively simple, and it's not really the focus of the game. The plot is, in the year 2027, the Fizco Corporation unleashes its newest product upon the public, Overcharged Delirium XT. This extremely popular and contaminated beverage has turned nearly the entire population of Sunset City into mutants. Following the outbreak, several groups of bandits were formed, terrorizing on other survivors. During these troubled times, a lone teenager decides to not only survive, but thrive. And I read that off the Wikia. So this game is fantastic. If you have not played it, I definitely suggest giving it a shot. The whole idea of it's a third-person open-world platformer shooter, and the shooting mechanics are very heavily inspired from Ratchet and Clank. You get a shitload of different weapons. They're all very unique, all really fun to play with and mess around with. Just some ones to list. There's one called Nothing But the Hits, which essentially just shoots records at enemies and decapitates them. It's just a record launcher. Think of it like, you know, those old school, those disc launchers you would have as a kid, like the foam discs that would just shoot out, and it usually had some type of like marketing tie-in, like, here's a Millennium Falcon with discs in it that you can shoot out. Be like Han and Chewie and shit. Something like that. They also have a pistol, which is like one of the most powerful weapons of the game, just called the Dirty Harry, you know, referenced after the movie Dirty Harry with, he had that 44 Magnum. My personal favorite is a shotgun, which they call the Flaming Compensator. And I shit you not, it is just a cock and balls. It looks like an old timey musket with like the barrel that bows out towards the end. Or like that opens up like cones out, I guess, towards the end of the barrel, and then there's two balls back towards the center, so it just looks like a cock and balls. It's kind of fantastic. Some of the other awesome weapons, there's like it gets really interesting because you can play this game in so many different ways. And the weapons demonstrate that. So the weapons I first mentioned are guns. You know, Nothing But the Hits is a record launcher. The Dirty Harry is a pistol. Flaming Compensator is a shotgun. But there's another weapon called the Acid Sprinkler, which that's stationary. You drop that down, and it just does an AoE acid effect on the enemies around you, or around that area. So it's a nice place. If you're getting overwhelmed, you can just drop a bunch and just hang out in the center of those. So when they run to you, they're getting damage done to them as they get closer to you. There's a ton of other things, though. There's a weapon called the Captain Ahab, which, for those who don't know, that references the book Moby Dick. That's one of the main characters. It's a harpoon gun that fires fires harpoons with a bottle of overcharged delirium attached to their spearheads, basically just exploding on contact. And this game just... I only listed like four or five weapons. There's so many in this game. There's too many to count. That's a lie. There's you can still count them, but no, there's just a lot of because the weapons are so unique and they're so different. Everyone, it feels very different from the other. It makes the game very interesting. It gives you the ability to play however you want, and kind of in speaking the way to play however you want. One of the cool things about this game is that you can change your character is created. It's not like the storyline is so loose as you saw before. It's just a simple there's a zombie outbreak. You go kill the zombies and you try to take down the Fizz Corporation in the process. But when you create a character, you can, make them however you want. You can make the male, female. I don't know if there's like a gender neutral thing, which that's not me trying to be funny or cause some kind of like political make some political statement. I honestly don't know, but Insomniac would do something like that. But in any case, you can make your character look however you want. When I was brushing up on this for this episode, I watched some funny moments. And by the way, we'll get into it. This game is fucking hilarious. It has got, that's hence the South Park portion of that intro of the intro of this episode. It's amazing. But you can make your character look as everyone. In the video I was watching to kind of get reacquainted, the guy chose to be a guy or girl. The player chose to be a woman, and she had football shoulder pads and a helmet on with spikes everywhere out of it. And it's just, they're in the middle of these serious conversations, and your character's just there in helmet and shoulder pads. When I had my playthrough earlier this year or last year, I think I made him wear pink short shorts. I played as a guy, and I think I made him wear pink short shorts and had a very emo haircut. I loved it. It was great. It was so much fun. And now the game just has like so much customization in it, and on top of that, what complements the customization of the weapons as well as your character design and everything is the layout of the land. To bring in the Tony Hawk reference I mentioned before, the game is open world and you can grind on anything. You can it's very hard to describe, but what's fun about this game is the movement. You feel, how like Mario games, you can always tell a Mario game because the movement just feels solid, like it's easy to use. You feel like in complete control of Mario. That's how this game is. You can jump off of I'm trying to think of the word for this. I'm blanking on all the words I'm trying to use, but umbrellas, like the big canopy umbrellas that you see at tables by poolsides. I just can't think of their fucking name right now. But you launch off of that, launch off of car hoods. You can bounce off just about anything. And the more you bounce off of stuff without actually stopping or hitting the ground, you get better combo points. And then you use those combo points to, upgrade stuff. And the more creative ways, you kill enemies, the more points you get, the more you rack up and get upgrades and stuff. It's just an amazingly fun game. The combat in it is so fluid, and like I said before, the game is so customizable that the traversal kind of adds an extra layer to it. Even though the traversal in and of itself isn't customizable, you're given a moveset and you kind of have to adhere to it. However, since the environment gives you so many things you can traverse on, whether it's grinding on railings, grinding on power lines. You also eventually get like a crowbar where you can either grind on top of the power lines or drop down and hang by the crowbar, and you'll grind across the power lines that way. And or just bouncing off of umbrellas or cars, like I said already, and bouncing off of some enemies even. And the enemies, even like all the enemies are very unique, and they give you tons of different ways of killing them, as well as trying to find ways to kill them, because some of them aren't just straightforward. It's not just guys with guns or fast moving zombies. They kind of took, the best way I can describe it is like they kind of took the Left 4 Dead approach of zombies, where you have a couple, you have a bunch of like easy ones that just kind of rush you, and they're kind of obnoxious because they usually swarm you, but then they have a handful of like really big ones, like, you know, special ones, unique ones, zombies with unique abilities. Some of them are really big and strong and take a lot of hits to take down, but they only send one or two of them at a time to you. Other ones just kind of explode and create AoE damage, so you have to kill them from distance, because if you kill them up front, you're going to get wrecked. There's just so many different types of enemies, and I can't remember all of them specifically, but I will do my best to look some of these up while I am pontificating. Well, not pontificating, that's not the right word. While I'm just kind of talking and randomly and whatnot. But, yeah, so there's just a lot of great, like, the game is just super customizable. Some of the weapons I also didn't remember, or didn't mention, I should say, is you have like the multi-lock rocket launcher. Simple enough, just a rocket launcher. Another cool one is the headbanger, Hottie Scotty. There's so many in here. The TN Teddy. That was one of my favorites. It was literally like, it's a fire extinguisher mounted, or on the fire extinguisher. What the character does is they mount a launcher on a fire extinguisher. They use a fire extinguisher to propel the projectile, and they rig up TNT with teddy bears, and they just launch them, and it does this massive AoE damage. It just blows the shit out of everything. There's just so many good things. The headbanger was the one that I mentioned before. Actually, I'm sorry. The headbanger is an upgraded version of this weapon, but the original one is called the Dude. The headbanger is an upgrade of a weapon just called the Dude, which is a reference to the movie The Big Lebowski. The weapon shoots bowling balls, every time you get a new weapon, the announcer of the game just gives you some weird tagline. For example, this one just says, "Dude, charge up this weapon and throw a strike every time. Come on, abide." Once again, referencing The Big Lebowski, which, one of my cinema sins is I've never seen that movie all the way through. Don't judge me. I'll get around to it. Just not on the top of my to-do list. Just everything about the weapon system, it screams Ratchet & Clank, but in a good way. It took Ratchet & Clank, which was very tongue-in-cheek, and made it much more adult. Which could be bad. You could end up with just making a lot of dick and fart jokes. And while there are good chunks, and there's a good chunk in this game of that, a lot of this is just really good referential humor. It's really funny. Seriously, like, yo, all the weapons in this game, all the references, the voice acting is actually really good as well. But I digress. That's not really the point of the game, is the voice acting. It's a really fun game. As you play through the game, you get a variety of different missions. Sometimes there's some tower defense style missions, which I always thought was kind of interesting. You also get some protection missions, which can be obnoxious, but overall aren't too bad. And a lot of the fun of the game is just exploring around Sunset City. Like I said, it is open world. And there's just, as the game progresses on, the enemies get more and more difficult, like any normal game does. But it's interesting. That's the best way I can describe it. And as you interact with all the characters in the world, it just makes you love the world that much more, because all the characters are insane. One of my favorite moments in the game is this game breaks the fourth wall a lot, and this is one of those moments. You're trying to find this guy who's kind of like a tech wizard. And when you get to his hideout, he like cordons you. He's like, "How do I know you're not, you know, Fizco, the evil corporation? How do I know you're not a Fizco agent?" And she's like, "No, I'm trying to actually destroy Fizco. I've been killing. I'm good with a gun. Like I I'm pretty good with all this stuff. And he's like, well, how do I know you're good with the gun? And then she goes, well, look how many I have. And it just shows like your pop-up display, your HUD of all like your weapon wheel. And the guy's, holy shit, that's a lot of guns. And then he goes, but how do I know you know how to use them? He's like, and your character goes, come on, I'm an American. And I don't know, that mean it's probably not nearly as funny as when I say it, but definitely it's really funny. I know I keep using that phrase, just saying how funny it is, but honestly, it's great. I would definitely go watch some cutscenes of it. It's pretty amazing. Some quick development history on the game. The game began early development near the end of the development of Resistance 3. And it actually was going to be a little bit more of a serious game. Insomniac was trying to make something a little bit more serious, kind of in the same lines of Resistance, but they kind of want to get back to the more tongue-in-cheek Ratchet and Clank roots, and they definitely did for this one. Apparently they wanted to be a story-driven game, but honestly, the story is not that great, so I'm hopefully they weren't too serious about the story elements. And Insomniac can do good story-based games. Look at the new Spider-Man game that just came out. I beat that a couple weeks ago, and it made me cry. So they know their shit. Insomniac's such a good, strong developer. I can't recommend their shit enough, guys. Like, they're so good. For those who don't know, they did the Spyro the Dragon series. They did Ratchet and Clank. They did Resistance. They did a game called Fuse, and Fuse was kind of a letdown. That was their first one that was not exclusive to a Sony platform. That's one of the one where they officially kind of branched out and tried different platforms, but EA published it. And Tristan's been on the show before. Both him and I really think EA got their hands a little bit too involved in the development, didn't let them do what they wanted. Only reason being is that if you look at the original trailers for Fuse before it came out, it was very like tongue-in-cheek, goofy, funny. It was a four-person co-op shooter, kind of in the same vein of Left 4 Dead, but not zombies. And then when the final game came out, it was just serious. It was dreadfully serious and boring, and they took out all the fun elements of it. I mean, I could be wrong. That could have been what they originally wanted in the first place. But based off that first trailer and then the final trailer, it seems like EA just kind of ruined it. But, you know, what else is new with EA? So they did that, and then, of course, they've actually done a couple mobile games now, and most recently, they did the Spider-Man game, which is absolutely phenomenal. So, like I said, Insomniac Games, one of my favorite developers. They're up there with Naughty Dog for me, just really solid A-plus developer. Music isn't much to talk about within the game. It's definitely very 90s feeling, like 90s grunge, but I also didn't listen to a lot of grunge. So if it's not grunge, I'm sorry, but it reminds me of like 90s rock in a good way. And I don't normally like 90s rock, but I really like, but it's like really kind of, I don't know how to describe it. For those who play Jet Set Radio, it kind of has that same vibe, not the same style of music, but the same vibe of music where it's kind of like frenetic and actiony and just like, but catchy. Like you can hear yourself, like you could get it stuck in your head. It's nothing like great in my mind, but it serves a purpose, and I could see people really liking the soundtrack for this game, even though it's not my personal cup of tea. Now, there is an online multiplayer feature to the game, which I have not done much. I don't really play a lot of multiplayer online, so I don't really know how good or bad or otherwise it is. But it's a cooperative multiplayer mode for up to 8 players called Chaos Squad. And basically, they're tasked with completing a set of missions, which range from cooperative defense modes to competitive combat. Maybe sometimes they're objective or collection-based missions or collection modes. And each match ends with a round of night defense. And for night defense is kind of like the tower defense version of the tower defense like elements in the game, where you periodically throughout the game, you'd have to defend certain areas, hence night defense, and at night. And you could set up traps along the way, and you were given a certain amount of money that you could spend for these traps. Or I shouldn't say it's money, it was like energy. It was really strange how the economy of those specific missions worked. But you would have to you know, set up traps and basically figure out how you'd want to do it. And generally, it wasn't, you know, I had a couple strategies for these. I tried things like, well, let me load up one end so I don't have to worry, like one entrance or something, so I don't ever have to worry about enemies getting through because I placed all my traps over there and I'll handle everything on this side. I don't suggest doing that. That's one of my strategies for tower defense, where I'll just like completely load up on one side where I don't have to touch it at all, and then just focus all my attention of shooting and killing and everything on the other. I shouldn't say all tower defense. Most tower defense you can't play along with the towers, but you know what I'm trying to say. This is a different kind of tower defense. It's a third-person tower defense game or portion. But I don't suggest that, because even the strongest of defenses, they still get through. They send so many guys that they get around it eventually. So you can't, that strategy unfortunately does not work, even though I like it a lot. So I would have to split everything up. And that's where a lot of you could buy different traps and stuff like that for outside the bases, but it was also really nice. Those acid sprinklers I was talking about before, they were really nice for these missions, because you could just throw a couple over in an entrance on top of some traps, and it would, you know, double, triple the damage over there, because they're just hitting them with all this acid damage on top of being attacked by, you know, machete blades and other types of traps. So it's a really fun mode that I definitely suggest. I actually really liked it. And I never played the online multiplayer, but I really would have probably enjoyed being able to do stuff like that with a group of friends. But unfortunately, not a lot of friends that I know that have Xbox One got Sunset Overdrive, and I don't actually pay the subscription fees for any online gaming service. I don't play online enough to warrant it. I know a lot of people like PS Plus and like the Xbox Live Gold and stuff like that, because you get free games now, even though, hint, hint, Sony started it first. The free games thing, I mean, not the online thing. Well, that's a whole other debate. I'm not trying to say which is better. I'm just saying Sony did the free games before Xbox did. In any case, I don't know why I even brought that up. It's a pointless argument. Don't you like hearing me ramble about useless shit on here? Anyway, I don't really pay for that stuff, no matter what platform, just because I don't play online and people are assholes, so I don't feel like dealing with it. But yeah, so that about wraps up what I wanted to talk about for Sunset Overdrive. I know it's a bit of a shorter episode this week, but I did a full hour last week on Ocarina of Time by myself, or almost a full hour. It was just a couple minutes shy, five or six minutes shy of a full hour. But I don't think I could go for a full hour on this. I don't have as much research, unfortunately, like I did for Ocarina of Time. And actually, I'm recording this before Ocarina of Time even is released. So let me know if you guys like that. If you like that style of episode where it's just very informative and there's a lot of information given. I try to have this one be more of a review. But yeah. So I guess my final rating for this, because I don't do ratings out of 10, is just go fucking play it. It's awesome. Hopefully the PC port will be fixed eventually. I don't think Insomniac did the port, so that kind of explains why it might not be as good. But no, if you have an Xbox One, definitely go get it. Would it be worth getting an Xbox One for this game alone? No, but it's definitely worth. If you have a friend who has an Xbox One, ask them to pick it up and try it out. It's definitely worth your time. You're going to love the hell out of it. Especially if you like funny games, this is really, really funny. So yeah, that's about it. So let's do some quick shout outs and plugs and whatnot. So you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them. Please remember that you can also email me stillloadingcontact@gmail.com. You can also check out my website, stillloadingpodcast.com. And then for some quick please remember to rate, review, and to subscribe to the show. Reviewing and subscribing, especially on iTunes, really helps get the name of the show out there, guys. So if you have anything that you'd like to write, just please, you know, give me some feedback. I would obviously prefer 5-star reviews, but understandably so. If this is shit to you, then I don't blame you. Hopefully if you're listening this far, and I'm surprised then if you don't like it. But some quick shout-outs. Shout-out to the entire Podbeer Network. Two Guys in a Game, The Hotter Show, Creeper Sleep, Honestly Lazy Show, Dark Runner Gaming, Mics and Beers, all of them. Check out the Podbeer Network. Just go to the website, podbeernetwork.com. You can check out all the amazing shows on this network that I am lucky enough to be a part of now. Also, shout outs to some of my favorite podcasts, Drinks with Larry, The Apex in the Abyss, Christian and Damon's Amazing Nerd Show, or Amazing Nerd Show on Twitter. No Geeks Allowed, great buddies of the show. That's KNOW, No Geeks Allowed. You can find them pretty much everywhere. And their podcast is really amazing as well. Some shows that I've been binging a lot recently, some podcasts, Super Mercado Brothers. I've probably shouted them out a couple times on this show, but Super Mercado Bros, amazing video game music podcast. Singing Mountain, another really good video game music podcast. And I've also been listening to the Frame Savers, which is a speedrunning video game podcast. A lot of video game stuff. If you couldn't tell, I think I might like games just a little bit, right? So that wraps everything up for this episode. Thank you all once again for listening. I hope you all have an excellent week. Hope you all had a good Thanksgiving, even though I know it's about a week and a half later now. But I got some good stuff coming up. I have some ideas. I have to see if I can get everything organized and see if I can get guests for them. But some ideas in the pipeline. Hopefully they'll come to fruition. And yeah, that's everything. So thank you all once again for listening, and I will see you all next time.